Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Specialists are back, and today we are breaking down the Traders US Season 2 finale, and we're going to be talking all about the winners, and yes, there were plural winners, so if you have not watched the episode, this is going to be spoiler heavy, not spoiler free.
You just spoiled it.
Yeah, I did. It's going to be spoiler heavy, so don't tune in. I'm assuming, though, we're doing this the next morning. Anybody who's clicking this has absolutely watched it, or they want to know who won. And so the good news is we're here to tell you exactly who won, so get excited for that. Will, this is 2 years in a row now that we've had the Traders, and we've had gamers, we've had regular reality TV type housewives, non-competition style. Last season we had regular people, this season we did not. Are the gamers just always going to win, or is this just a product of who they're putting on as the non-gamers?
Yeah, I don't know if we can say always because it's such a small sample size, but look, if you played a competition formatted show before, you have a leg up in this type of thing where there are challenges, and yes, the challenges don't mean that much, but you know how they work, you know how you can use them to your advantage. You know, the lying, the deceit, the alliances, the votes, the numbers, all that is something that if you're on a docufollow show that those cast members just don't have to think about. So, well, I don't think it's impossible. I do think there is a significant advantage, and, you know, not that it can't happen, but yeah, MJ just got ousted there. And I don't
it
know where you
all be, bro. Like, yeah. I the reunion, MJ, she would not, she wanted Trishel and CT to die. And it just seemed like she didn't understand what they were doing to her.
Well, it was so weird. I don't know where do you want to start? You can kind of lead this. For me, it's like this episode is just so emblematic of what this show is, where it's like, I like some things, and there's some big, exciting moments where I'm like, whoa, crazy. And then there are some things where I'm like, oh man, this is so broken. This is so stupid. Like all packed tightly, neatly into this like hour and 15 minutes of TV where I'm like rolling my eyes half the time and then going like, whoa, this is cool. The other half. So I just don't know with this one, man. It's so tough.
Let's break it down very simply, man. In an old school term, let's go with the good, the bad, and the ugly, and let's start with the good. But first, if you liked our Traders coverage for this season, if you enjoy this video, please like the video, subscribe to the channel. We're going to be covering, not Will and I, but I will be back for The Amazing Race next Thursday. So that'll be the new Thursday slot for Phil. We'll be doing The Amazing Race. I'll be doing it with Anna. So that'll be fun. Will doesn't have to do it. He's excited to not do it. Yeah. But if you enjoyed our coverage of the Traders, I know that we've been negative on the show. We've been positive on the show. We've been all over the place on the show because that's where the place is. But let's go the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I want to start with the good. The final four situation in the Traders, in my opinion, really, really works. It really does. And it makes sense. We've talked about it before, why they don't know how many traders there are, because then you have to get to this final four scenario, this fire. The good was Kate making the worst play in the history of the show, which is only two seasons old, but by throwing in the green after somebody had been murdered and then Sandra was got and did not, and was not a traitor. So there obviously was a traitor. She throws
so
in the
yeah.
green and throws in red.
Yeah. So I'm curious why you put this in the good, because there's a couple things I like about this. Like, you know, it's, you're not at the round table. It has a different mechanic. If anybody votes to banish, you have to vote to banish. I do like that. Mm-hmm. But there's some really dumb stuff here, and you just brought it up. I mean, come on, Kate.
But I think the good is her making that bad of a play this close to the end. Like, to me, that's
I don't think that's good. I'm sitting there being like, wow, we watched this whole show about, like, scheming and manipulation and trying to outsmart your opponents and stay after. It's a game. Like, it's trying to be a very cerebral game. That's the goal. I think that's why a lot of people do enjoy it. Obviously, people watch it for the, you know, the castle and the mirror and Alan, and people watch it for that aesthetic. And then people watch it for the cast, right? We have so many cast members from other shows, but a lot of people do like it for the game that it is. It's a long drawn out game of Mafia or Werewolf. These games are fun to play and understand how they work. And so when you have your last remaining traitor, someone you're kind of rooting for as the audience, completely flub the very simple gameplay mechanic of, if you're a traitor here, you have to throw in if you're anybody, if you're a traitor or a faithful,
if you're a human being.
Yeah. If you're a human being, if you're on either side of the aisle here, you have to throw in red. And the only reason you wouldn't throw in red is because you're just too dumb enough to not understand the rules. That's it. I'm not like trying to be a bully. I know we talked about bullying when we discussed Survivor episode 2 this week, but this is not being a bully. She doesn't understand these games. Look, she's from Below Deck, a Bravo show where she doesn't have to play these games. We talked about that, you know, in the first 2 minutes of this podcast. Can these types of people figure it out? I think they can, but man, I mean, I don't even know what she was thinking. I don't know. I was not able to watch the reunion. I was able to just watch the episode. I don't know if they brought that up, but it's like to for this to be the final ceremony, the final point. And it just lands so flat with me, where the traitor, the main character essentially right now, everyone else has been voted off. You're like, can Kate do this? And she throws in green. And I just could not roll my eyes hard enough, be like, this show's stupid. The show is dumb because the characters are dumb. They don't know what they're doing. And it like pissed me off. I'm like, what are we watching for? It's like when you watch a sports team and it's like, when the coach messes up the timeout situation, like, you're getting paid like $10 million a year to know how to manage the clock and timeouts. And when you watch it, it's not entertaining. It's like, I want to see the best people in the world play sports and the coaches and the best teams go head to head. And when you want to see that happen on the field, you don't want those errors that are so uncaused. This is like an uncaused error. This is just like, this is, you know, maybe Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down without taking.
No, this is Jim Caldwell calling timeout when he had Peyton Manning on the Colts. I know you probably don't remember that, but he called timeout and then they ended up losing the game because he called the timeout to give the other team time.
This is Mario Cristobal not taking
running the ball,
running the ball. But that probably isn't the best analogy, because if Mario Cristobal does take that knee, the Hurricanes win the game. Here, I think Kate was going home anyway, and this is another problem I have. with this, so I'm going all bad on this, Phil. I'm sorry that you thought it was good.
No, this is good. I'll tell my good afterwards, because you're cranky. It's early for you.
Yes, it is early. I've got my coffee here. I'm pissed. I did think there were good parts of this, but we talk a lot on this, like, man, the faithful have no information to go with the trade to get traders out. And then this season towards the end, it's like, man, like, the traitors have nothing to stand on here. It seems like they're screwed. And it's like Kate was able to throw the target onto Sandra, get the votes onto her at the round table. Sandra goes home. And then because they reveal that Sandra is a, like, they almost need to omit the identity of that fifth place boot. I think that makes this a way more interesting segment here, because the green and the red, then there's plausible deniability from Kate to throw out green and be like, I think we got Sandra. But the fact that Sandra tells us that she is a faithful, then it's like, all right, well, then it's Kate. And then what is she supposed to do? And I guess I'm not saying, and I've learned this season, I don't think the game's designed too easy to favor one side or the other. It's like, by the time you get to the end, you know which side is going to win. There's not much suspense in who. What you're not going into this fire ceremony being like, they're not going to banish Kate. You're like, this is so obvious. There's no suspense. They're 100% going to banish Kate. That's going to happen. And so you know the faithful have won at this point. Whether Kate goes home or Sandra goes home, you know that you know the faithful are winning the show. That is not up for debate. There's no suspense there. And then last season was the opposite, where you're going in. It's like, okay, well, Ari and Sari are still here. There's no way one of them isn't winning the show. So maybe the game we've been saying, it's not like favors one side. It's just it doesn't end well for me. The ending doesn't feel satisfying because you know which side is going to win. So those are things that I didn't enjoy.
So I have a couple pushbacks on this, and I know, like, Will, I feel like this is your time to shine, because like all season long you were getting roasted by the comments for saying like that the Bravo women were better and all this, and we weren't giving them the credit, but it was mainly focused at you. And it's funny because
that? I don't even remember
early on in the season. I know you don't read the comments as much as I do, but it always brings a smile to my face when you're getting ripped and not me, because back when I had Alexa on the podcast, I'd always get ripped and she never would. So it feels good.
I remember getting ripped and then kind of being correct most of the time.
So. But that's what I'm saying. So now this is kind of your victory lap, right? But I do want to point this out.
I didn't even know that.
Kate, just a terrible traitor. She's just horrible at being a traitor. And I think that's the circumstance here. First of all, I actually thought she made the right move at the beginning of the episode by getting rid of, or it was like kind of her best play, right? By getting rid of Sheree. But then you could also argue that if she keeps Sheree, they have the numbers. They vote out either Sandra or CT or Trishelle, whichever one she didn't murder. And then they're able to take care of business there. By her getting rid of Sheree, now she's on the wrong side of the numbers. But then Kate made another mistake, and that was going after Sandra, because now by her going after Sandra, she is making it so that Sandra's identity will be revealed right there at Final Five, rather than allowing her to get to the fire ceremony at the end. If Sandra gets to the fire ceremony at the end and Kate throws in red and Sandra ends up getting voted out there, now all of a sudden you say to yourself, okay, let's see what happens. Now Sandra would reveal that she is ultimately not a traitor, that she's a faithful, but still Kate could at least push that and then maybe get in Trishelle's ear and say CT's been playing really good. Maybe CT's the one who's actually a traitor. But Kate didn't do any of that. And then Kate gets to the end and makes the dumbest move. And it's crazy because she was playing the second time. And this is very like Russell Swan-esque of just everything that could go wrong went wrong for Kate in the second time playing. So she butchers that. But what I love about this, and it's because it almost ruins what the idea of the traitors is, but I love it because it does make for really entertaining dynamics, is the fact that after you get rid of the traitor, which is Kate, they still decide to vote again. And I love that they got rid of MJ, but that they did the votes around the circle saying, oh, we're all faithfuls. All MJ had to do was vote for CT. And she votes for CT. CT ends up going home. And then MJ is splitting with Trishelle. But instead, she doesn't want to do that. And I think what I loved about this, so I guess what I'm calling this the good, I'm calling this the good because it did show a broken mechanism, but it worked for me because I enjoyed watching it take place. And that is, the non-gamers always get pissy when it comes to trying to win the most money at the end of these games. And it's like, well, too bad. That's what you're out there for. Like, you're all getting your appearance fee anyway. It's not like MJ went home with no money. And so CT and Trishelle, they gamed it. They beat the non-gamers. The non-gamers at the reunion always complain. Ari's still been complaining about it. Supposedly, you find out at the reunion that MJ blocked Trishelle and CT both on Instagram, which was a big deal. Johnny Bananas made sure to let everybody know how big of a deal that was. But it's just, if you're going out there to play a game called The Traitors, if you're going out there to play a game, we talked about this with Survivor last week when everybody was saying Jess was being bullied and stuff like that. If you're going to play a game, you got to play the game. You got to play the game. And you got to play the game to win, and to win as much as you possibly can. Sorry, MJ, you didn't do what you needed to do to get the money. So I did enjoy this last ceremony because it really showed how much better the gamers are at this game than the non-gamers. So I was into that. But we'll rebut, and then I'm going to look at some comments and we'll start throwing in some questions and everything from other people. Since the good, the bad, and the ugly, we're never going to agree on here. So I just wanted to try to start that way. And then you immediately just like told me to shut up. So
not immediately. That was a good like 4 or 5 minute rant.
Oh no, I'm talking about when you immediately said, yeah, that wasn't good. So that's what I
meant. Oh, the early on. Yeah, because it wasn't. I mean, I was rolling my eyes at Kate throwing green. Like, you can't have your main character be that dumb. I'm sorry. And not that Kate's a dumb person. She's probably really smart. She just doesn't know how to like the game mechanics work. And it's like, maybe that's what they need to focus on, like produce the people that they fully understand the rules, but you want these like crazy big personalities. So it's like, it's really tough to like marry that with strategy a lot of the times. So let me just get into something that I liked a lot. Cause I am like mid eye roll. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Cause we get down and maybe I'll start with something I didn't like. And then it transitioned to something I did like, but once Kate is gone, it's CT, Trishel, and MJ, and you see CT wink at Trishel. And I'm like, okay, I know what's going on here. CT and Trishel are going to throw their votes on MJ. And this is another thing that's also just dumb and stupid. Like, this is stupid. The show's called The Traitors. The whole point is figuring out the traitors. Like, if you've caught all the traitors, now we're shifting into trust a game agreed. Like, we just completely abandon the premise at the very end of the show. Not to say that it's bad. It's just, like, thematically tying into, like, we have found the traitors. I almost feel like if you throw red and it's all faithfuls, you shouldn't win money. Like, that's how I feel. If you really want to keep the whole point of this show faithfuls versus traitors, which I think makes the most sense, that should be the rule. Like, you should only throw red in if you actually think there is a traitor among you, and if you throw red, you should be punished if the faithfuls are all gone. That's what I strongly believe.
Can I read something to you real quick?
Because this was, I was just sitting there rolling my eyes like, oh my gosh, CT and Trishel, they've played the challenge, they know how this works, they know MJ is a faithful. Neither of them think MJ is a traitor at this point. So now we're playing a completely different show in its final act, its final segment of what it is, has nothing to do with the story we've been telling the entire time. But then we get the 1-1-1, and I'm like, holy shit. This is awesome. I love this. This is great. I'm like, whoa. And that's, to me, the feeling of the show where I'm like, this is dumb. I'm rolling my eyes. Then I go, wait a second. This is awesome. So I really like that 1-1-1, and that Trishel was not in with CT swing. Hey, let's just get out MJ and split the money.
If they had tied again, what do you think would have happened?
I think they say deadlock, reveal who you are at that point.
And then
the traitor
wins. No one's kind of like, it's kind of like the werewolf thing where everybody points at the person to their right.
That's what it, yeah. And this is like, maybe this is why MJ is so salty and so upset. She's like, look, guys, we found the traitors and we were at the end by the fire. That should equal a win. And she's not wrong. Like, I think that should equal a win. And if someone's there being like, no, I'm throwing red, I think there's a traitor, and there isn't a traitor, that should go punished. Like, you should not be in on that.
Let me read this off. So he's not a friend of the podcast, but he feels like my friend at this point because we've been watching and recapping Deal or No Deal Island. And so Boston Rob put out a tweet this morning, and I think it's definitely worth us reading. It is... Here's the evolution. In the future, if there are only faithful left in the game and they continue to banish, there should be a penalty. Maybe all the money goes to the banished or the faithful solely. Starting at the final five, after there are banishments, what if they don't think they should reveal? I'm just reading verbatim, so there's a mistake here. But what if they don't think they should reveal whether they are faithful or traitor to the group? Adds to the paranoia, makes more interesting dynamic, and makes the game way harder. Now, this is a guy who has spent his entire adult life on reality television. And he's saying exactly pretty much what you're saying of how can we figure this out?
You should not reveal. Because both times we've seen this, the suspense is pretty much gone.
And I do think, like, with Boston Rob saying this about a Peacock show while he's on an NBC/Peacock show, and being that he is the star of the other NBC/Peacock show, that might actually be a good thing. So I don't know, but I like what you're saying. I like what he's saying. If you continue to banish at the end, maybe there should be a penalty, because again, it shows how there is a difference between the gamers and the reality people, the docu, whatever you called it. But I like that element because I think it's funny, but like you said, if the traitors are all gone, this game is no longer about anything except what are my numbers. And in the reunion, and you didn't see this, I was really shocked they kept this in because it wasn't a live reunion. They filmed this last week and then they edited it up. Sandra literally states that she was playing the game just to have the numbers and to vote other people out so that she always had the numbers. She knew who the traders were, but she always wanted to make sure that she was in the right side of the numbers and work through the game that way. She didn't really care about
it. She played a great game. That's a great game. That's how you should play it.
But it's funny because they're trying to make it seem like, oh, it's about finding the traders. And then they're having somebody who played a great game who is, you know, one of the greatest reality TV contestants of all time.
Revered.
Yeah. Explaining that she's actually not playing the game the way that the show is designed. So how do they fix that? Can they fix that? Is there no way to fix that? Do they not want to fix that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's ways to fix that, to fix the entire show here. I don't know if we can really do that at this point. I know we've talked through certain ideas throughout the season, but I do think at least for the finale, the final five should remain a mystery. Because I had said that early on this podcast, and then now we have Boston Rob saying, and like you said, he's been on these shows. He knows how this stuff goes down. And maybe that would give the traders too much cover, and then that puts the game in their favor. And then we're sitting here like, man, the faithful really don't have a shot. They should know at final five. And I think that kind of that feeling that like it always feels like it, like even now, it's like it feels like the faithful just waltzed to a win. And that happened because of all the good work they did earlier in the season. I think that's where this show struggles, is that it has to end after 11 episodes. It has to play out a full season, where I think we have talked about this before. What if you just play a season out, and it's you start with three traders, they get to recruit once, and once the traders are caught, that's game's over. We went 8 episodes a season, and like you could watch 1 week and we don't even know we're watching the finale. And I know this is not how TV is produced or made, trust me, I know this. But there could be something really unique and fun about that, because that's what makes the traders really tough, is that they have to keep it going until a finale. So you have to have people continuing to recruit when it feels like, okay, what was the point of catching the trader then if you just recruited somebody new? You have to get to a final four. Now we're at a final three with all faithful. Wait, the traders are all gone. What's the point? We've caught them all. Why are we still banishing each other? So maybe that... I mean, as lame as that might sound, that could be really interesting, that every week you don't know if the show could end or not.
Thing is, Will, like, because this is a reality TV show that's on a streaming network, they could make this 10 episodes, even if it went 3 weeks. Like, even if it went 3 nights at the round table, they can make this 10 episodes, no doubt. It's not that hard.
No, I don't think that. No, I think, but it's like you can have an episode go 11, you can have an episode go 8 episodes. It's just, I think then if you are a faithful, then you're splitting the money with like 7 people or 8 people, and that feels a little lame. I think maybe they have to, like, what's the highest like faithful count that once you've gotten all the traders out? And then maybe you have to, the prize money has to change, you know, like if everyone, they get at least $50,000, and the max you probably can project out is like a 6-person faithful win. They each get 50K. It's a $300,000 for the show. Not too far off what they're already doing. I don't know. I think it's just the adding people in and that we're building up to this point. It just feels unsatisfying. Although I kind of want to go back to this 1-1-1 vote. Because I saw a comment in here from Luke Green. Yeah. I think Trishel was really tired and really wanted... Wait, that's not the one I wanted. There was one before that. Oh, here we go. From Juan Mora, I think Trishel truly thought CT...
And she was trying
traitor. To...
She was
and
trying
I think that's true. Which that actually was. Yeah. And I don't think this 1-1 vote was planned. Or 1-1-1. So... At this point, MJ is shocked. Like, she's floored. She's like, guys, we have all the faithful. And good for her, man. Like, and people can be like, oh, you're salty. You're not a gamer. Like, whatever. Like, you lost out on money. You thought you had won the game. Sure, you're pissed. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, she's too salty or get over it. Because, like, she lost out on money and she thought these people were her friends that she was on the same team with. Guess what? She was on the same team with. So for it to flip, I get why she's angry, because it doesn't make sense, MJ. I'm kind of with you. I haven't seen the reunion, but I'm with you, MJ. And so she's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to toss a vote, I guess, at Trishel. And then Trishel is tossing a vote at CT. Does she know? Does Trishel at this point know that CT is voting MJ? She has to, right?
She has to. She's got to know. And also, here's the biggest tell, which is also maybe a little bit of an issue with the game. They write their answers, right?
Oh, I remember. I was listening. I'm like, okay.
MJ an hour and a half to write Trishel. The other two names that were left were two letters each. So Trishel watches CT write in big letters, MJ. He takes up the whole board. And then meanwhile, you got MJ over there going, that's the noise of her chalk tapping the board. Obviously, she's not voting CT. So I think that Trishel might have wanted to see what the reaction of CT was when he got that vote, because if he gets that vote,
Something here, though, is that the chalkboard is very, like, it's part of, like, the show's kind of look, and it's a big prop, and it's at the round table. And I think at the round table, when you have, like, you know, start with, like, 20 people, and we're down to, like, 18, 15, 12, whatever, I think you can kind of disguise your vote a little bit easier. I imagine for this final vote, especially because there's so much prize money on the line, I imagine they lock in their vote verbally in private, and then they go through the process of writing it down, so you're not allowed to change your vote. I would imagine that's how it works. They want to keep the chalkboard in play because that's part of, again, it's part of, like, the just the look and feel of the show. That's how you always vote and banish in this game. But I don't think they're going to let their final, you know, over $200,000 prize, you know, lose its integrity with counting strokes and hearing it on a chalkboard. So I imagine they locked this in before. And there are shows, plenty of shows, where you have, you know, you get your official votes off camera, make sure it's all good, make sure there's integrity, and then you do your on camera, whatever kind of creative bit or reveal you want to do, you do that after the fact. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's that way.
So let's talk about this, because Sarah Woodward put this comment in 25 minutes ago, right when we started this. So she said, did anybody else notice that they actually didn't win whatever was in the prize pot at the end? Alan did not say they both won half of 250, which would be 125. They said they won like 104 each. Their prize pot actually only got up to $208,100.
But didn't we say that? I think we talked about this, Phil. I think we said, no matter what, it's going to get over 200K. It's going to be between 200 and 250.
Well, what I'm saying, we had said that earlier. Max is 250. And last season, they gave them, in the final challenge, they gave them an opportunity to get like a comeback thing where it was essentially, here's 70 extra $1,000 so that it got right to 250. What did you think about the fact that they didn't have that opportunity in this challenge?
Don't care. I just don't.
Do you think, though, that that's a product of it's all famous people who are all getting appearance fees anyway, so they don't really care about getting it up to 250, whereas last year it was a lot of normal people like you and me who are playing the game for the money?
Could be. I just, like, we've talked about it enough. The prize money fluctuating between, you know, we had said this, we think it's going to, I remember saying this, we think it's going to land somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000. Like, it might not get to the max, but they're not going to let them win like $140,000. And split it two ways. It's going to get over 200K. I said maybe you would get high 190s just to, if they really F up these missions and like really rub it in, but you're going to get pretty close to 200K. And look, they ended up with 208K. They should just have the set prize and just have that be the prize pool. I don't know why you need to collect money in missions. You're not
worth, like, the point of the missions, I guess, is their problem.
Give them a more important point. Give them a more important purpose. Mm-hmm. We've been through that. We've talked to death through that. So anyway, I want to go, but we still keep getting sidetracked. We're going through this final 1-1-1. So
that's all you want to talk about. You're stoked. You love the 1-1-1.
I do, because I think we keep getting off track, and it's interesting to think and put yourself in each person's like perspective here, that MJ is like, I don't know who to vote for. I'll throw it at Trishelle. And you're like, well, it's bullshit because the chalk, I'm saying it probably wasn't. They probably locked it in off camera. CT, Trishel knows that CT is voting MJ because CT throws the wink at Trishel, like, hey, let's just split this, me and you. Mm-hmm. And then so you think Trishel is voting CT, not thinking that there's enough votes. But I mean, maybe she could think MJ votes. If MJ votes CT, he's gone. So I mean,
the problem is people aren't that good at these games. Like, they might play well throughout because they have each other on their backs, but all MJ had to do is write down CT and CT's done. And she didn't do
right,
it.
But I don't even really put that on MJ, because I don't think MJ had no idea which one of them would vote for each other. I think at this point, she's like, you guys both think it's me because you guys both trust each other. I don't really put this one on MJ. It's more Trishel at this point is like, okay, I can, like, Trischel's in the power position here, basically.
For sure. Because CT was never going to vote for Trischel, so MJ needs to figure this out.
CT throws in red in order to get a vote on MJ, but Trischel throws in red hoping to get a vote on CT. It's also weird they don't talk during this. And I get there's only three people. You can't really, like, reveal your vote. And that's why, hey, you do the vote off camera. But it's, like, in between, before you even throw the red or green, is there, like, there should be, I feel like, some sort of discussion, like, guys, let's do it. This is we're about to win, and then you get the bomb, like the red.
I do want to say though, I do put this on MJ based on what you just said, because we've already said Trischel was in the power position. You just said those words. Trischel was in the power position.
Well, we know that as an audience.
Yeah, but if you're playing the game with these people for long enough, you should be able to tell that CT is not going to vote for Trischel. So go ahead and turn and just vote for CT. And as MJ there, you have to take the 50-50 shot of which one of these people
is more, because
if they both vote for me, I'm out anyway. What the hell am I going to do? But if they are going to, if one of them is going to vote for the other, who is more likely to vote for the other one? And it is Trischel was more likely to vote for CT than CT was to vote for Trischel. He made that very clear throughout the entire game.
Right. Was that super clear? I was more going off the wink. And I don't know if MJ saw the wink, because CT throw, you caught the wink too, right?
I did. Yeah. Okay. CT is very animated. CT's been on TV a lot. I don't know if you guys can tell.
Is he that animated? I feel like he might be animated, but he talks with this slow voice.
I wonder if that accent is his real accent, or if that's developed from all his years on TV. Because I don't know. So overblown.
No, but it's like usually like a seasoned reality TV star is like, all right, here's my confessional, like fast talking, like da 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 da, and they're really clear and type fast. And CT's just like, yeah, that mission, man. I had to carry the team and get the gold coins. And it's like so slow. I think it's got to be real. But anyway, Trischel throws it on CT. We get this 1-1-1. And I'm like, oh my God, is there a glimmer of hope here? And then they revote. And it's kind of like, oh, poor MJ. But if the 1-1-1 was not in this episode, that would have been just the most boring ending ever. Where it's like, man. Kate was able to get the heat off her and get Sandra home. Well, but then they get to know Sandra is a faithful, so now they know there's a traitor. Kate throws green. What an idiot. Now they vote off Kate. Woohoo, the faithful win. Now there's three left. Oh, two of them are best friends, and they've already found the traitors, and that doesn't really matter, so let's just vote out MJ and split the money. Woohoo. What are we watching? So
I love that 1-1-1. I put this comment up at the beginning of you talking, and you were just staring, looking up.
I didn't want to look at it because I wanted to finish what I was saying.
There you go. All right. Well, let's throw this one in then. I do think a lot of this has to do with.
Are you going to read the comment out loud?
Yeah, I am. Shut up. I do think a lot of this has to do with the fact that Kate played this very poorly. So Sarah Woodward asks, do you think the ending is different completely if Trischel is murdered instead of Sheree? Do you think CT still wins? And if so, who wins? Because we know Kate gets banished instead. So what do you think, Will? If Sheree stays in the game and Trischel gets murdered, and we're coming to that final round table with Kate, Sheree, MJ, CT, and Sandra, how do you see the end game playing out? And do you think there's a world where Sheree and MJ play with Kate and the three of them all try to split at the end and Kate walks out with all the money?
I think it's Kate, Sandra, either way there. So if you get Kate and she's a traitor, then maybe Sandra has something to lean on. But I think they're like, there's probably one more, and it's probably Sandra. If Sandra goes, Kate's again screwed. I don't think they're not putting enough votes on onto Sheree, MJ, or CT at the roundtable. I think still it's Sandra or Kate regardless. And then you're left with CT, Sheree, and MJ. And I think they just split the money because I don't think CT wants to throw red there because if they have to vote somebody, MJ and Sheree are going to stick together, both vote so CT and he's gone. And I think Sheree and MJ will be like, I think we got them all. Let's just throw green. I'm not here to split money and be schemey and deceptive. So I think that's like a three-way split for the win unless Kate is able to throw it onto CT somehow. And then that's her only goal there. Get the votes on the CT. And then be with the Bravo people at the end who are going to throw green, and then Kate can take home the prize. But I don't know. The only way Kate makes it through to this final four is if a faithful goes home at the round table. Like she can't win the round table, basically.
Back to my belief that her best move, and I said this in the recap for episode 10, so if you want to go check out what I actually was saying there, you can hear it more thoroughly. But I am now of the belief, because we kind of talked myself out of it. You talked me out of it. I kind of talked myself out of it. But maybe she should have said MJ, murdered MJ, let her use the shield to stay safe, and then make the argument of, at the round table, they all sit down and say, okay, who are we going to banish? Well, there might not be a traitor. So now if they take out Sandra, or if they take out Trishelle, or if they take out somebody else, and that person says they're a faithful, then they could go to the final four fire thing, whatever, it would be at five now, and they could say to each other, man, maybe we all are just faithfuls. And now you have to figure out, should we just get rid of Kate anyway? Which at that point, maybe they do. Maybe Kate never had a chance.
Or at that point, the best move. I think if you're all faithful that early on, or if you've convinced the group, then it becomes, okay, it's again, this shift in how are we splitting this money happens way earlier. Whereas this happens right at the end, because they get Kate right at Final Four, then they move into this, and then the game's like, whoa, now we're gonna play the trust. Now we're gonna do something different. So I think if you can sit with that, then it's like MJ, Kate, and Sheree, they realize basically we have the numbers. We can just banish CT and Trishelle and let's split the money three ways. And that's what it becomes. You're just getting rid of the whole traitor aspect earlier. So yeah, maybe that would have been the best move. I think it's still tough. Like, why does the show have a banishment ceremony if there aren't any traitors? But it's like, what if
why are they doing the final four? Why are they doing the final three? You know?
Yeah.
Now, people are saying that a letter was given to Bergy. Was that true? I thought Bergy didn't get the letter because he had the shield. So that Juan Mora is saying MJ would have gotten a letter. Did they air Bergy getting a letter?
I don't know. That would
change that. I mean, that's another thing, though. They should probably take that out of the game if that's in the game. If somebody has a shield... So Juan Morris said, yeah, he said yes in his exit interviews. He should have then, they got to take that out of the game. So if somebody has a shield, they don't know if they were actually attacked. I mean, early in the game, it makes sense. But at this point, they would have to not tell MJ, because that is probably the only strategic chance Kate has. Because her getting rid of Sheree, now she doesn't have the numbers. And unless somebody comes up as a traitor, there's always going to be, until she goes home, they're always going to know that there's a traitor left in the game. Had she gotten rid of Sandra, it's literally the exact same situation. Had she gotten rid of Trishelle, it's the same situation. So I almost think that they need to not tell the person that they got murdered in this situation. And that would save the game, because then Kate has a chance. Kate pretty much came into this episode with no chance. She played it as terribly as she could, but she had no chance anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think what she would have had to do is get the votes onto CT somehow at that first round table, go to the final four with Sandra, banish her, but still. Then
they're voting at final three, still looking for a traitor.
Yeah, no, because then CT says I'm faithful. Sandra says I'm. They just keep revealing. So Kate had no chance here.
None.
Because they just keep revealing who you're eliminating. That you can't do that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
the only way to win as a traitor at the end is to get to the end with two traitors. A sole traitor cannot go through the final six or the final five and win, because they keep revealing if the person's a faithful or a traitor. How dumb
and
is
that's
that?
And that's how Ceri won broken. Season one. Because it's broken. Ari left the game.
It's
as
so
a traitor.
Dumb. Who can defend this? How does this not get thought through? Am I overreacting right now? And it took me a while to really land on that succinct of why it's broken. If there is one traitor at final six or later, they cannot win the game.
You can't win. Because you're still murdering and everybody's looking for a traitor.
You will continually keep revealing faithful, faithful, faithful. Now, there is that rule. If it gets down to two, the voting stops. But then you have to get through so many votes. It's like, yes, you have a chance. And I guess what I'm saying isn't like 100% fact. But the deck is so stacked heavily.
Well, because the problem is, at final six, if there's a murder, now you're at final five and everybody knows there's still one traitor. So you banish and that's a faithful. So now you're at final four. You get over there and everybody knows there's still one traitor. The first vote, now you're down to three. And everybody still knows that there's one traitor because that person was a faithful.
So you're voting at three. Final.
Yeah. And then those three have to sit there and say, okay, which one of us is most likely to be the traitor? And you, at that point, you have to play the most perfect game of all time. Because even if it was MJ, Sheree, and Kate as the final three. Sheree and MJ are going to go, it's probably Kate.
Yeah. It's just 100% Kate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to. And then so then here's the other side of this. So if you only have one trader at final six or later, it's pretty much there's the faithful have won and there's no suspense and the game's done. If you have two traders at final six, the traders pretty much win and the game's stupid and dumb. That's the issue here. There's not either side. You're winning this. The faithful or trader side is winning this game like two episodes before the finale. Like it's not dictated who wins in the finale. And maybe I'm completely wrong. And there's been, you know, two traders at final six that somehow don't end up with the win. And hey, that's probably more fun to watch. But then if that's happening, you're definitely losing one of the traders at final six. And then guess what? We're in the situation we had tonight or last night. And it's five people left, one trader where we know there's not really having a shot to win. So it's like, it's, and then if you have two traders at final five, you're like, well, man, they've got this in the bag. So it's this like that's the issue of this season of the show. It can't end suspensefully or in a satisfactory manner because the numbers just don't work out with what they're doing. It just doesn't make sense. They cannot reveal. They can't do the reveals. That's what you have to do at the end. You don't say I'm a traitor, I'm a faithful at the final thing.
Well, I have
or at final five.
Since you went on your rant, we got our first downvote on the video. So if everybody could go like the video and like just make that happen so that we don't get like hidden by the algorithm because Will's stating nothing but facts, please.
Are we wrong? Are we like really wrong here?
Royal 17 says Kate having to murder someone kind of screwed her unless she finessed her way to the final two. Sarah says, I actually agree with Will that if all traders are gone, that should be it. Where else is it? There was another one in here. Should the game? Oh, Juan Morris says, should the game just end at final three then? Should the game just end at final three?
No, I think having a vote there works in some scenarios. Maybe that's a way to fix it. I think the big fix that we need to make is just not revealing. Like when you ban someone at fire and final five, it's just not revealed if they're faithful or traitor. That's the only way to add suspense to this. It really is. Because if you keep saying it's a faithful, it's a faithful, it's a faithful. It's like, okay, we're going to then keep throwing red in and keep voting. And then the trader's sitting there like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Eventually, the vote's going to come on to me.
Because then also what this game should come down to is a social deduction, right? So if you get to the final five and Sandra gets voted and Sandra doesn't say what she is, you sit there and say, okay, based on her reaction and based on the reactions of everybody else, should I think that she was a traitor or a faithful? And then at final four, when you see how pissed Kate is when she leaves – or when you see how pissed MJ is when she leaves, you should be looking at faces to try to figure it out. I don't know. I mean, to me, like, so we have this comment here, Luke Green, I think it's still suspenseful because it's what traitor or what faithful is winning. It's about people versus sides. But this entire episode, we started the finale of the traitors knowing that the traitors were going to lose.
Yeah, 100%. Kate wasn't getting to the end here.
What'd you say?
Yeah, Kate was never going to get to the end and eke this out.
So in terms of suspense, the suspense was, is Sandra, every Survivor person's favorite to win, going to win? Is CT and Trishelle going to win? Who is going to be the last murderer? It was just a matter of which faithfuls were going to win, which I guess could be suspenseful if you're really, really bought into these characters. But
it's not the premise of the show. It's not the
like, or I mean, not, Sandra.
Yeah, and it's just not what you... That's not what the show is telling us we should care about. Who from the faithful can outsmart each other and get the numbers and split the prize. That's just not the point. The point's to sniff out the traitors. And if you sniff out the traitors, that should be the end goal. Yeah. I mean, I think we've kind of ripped into this enough. I mean, again, I think when I saw Trishelle write down CT's name, I was like, that was fantastic. Like, I really, really enjoyed that. Those moments are rare, I think, not only for traders, but across a lot of shows. Like, I was like, whoa. Did it end up leading to that successful or satisfactory of an ending? Not really. But fun when it happened. Do you want to go earlier in the episode at all? Like, I know we just keep talking about the ending, like the first round table and how, like, it was going to be Kate and then it really flipped on to Sandra. It seems like out of kind of nowhere.
I feel like the problem was here they all knew it was probably Kate. So CT wanted to get his one last opportunity to find out if it was Sandra. I don't think Sandra, I think when Sandra walked into the game, she really never had a chance of winning the money at the end of this.
So you think that's what it was?
There's always going to be some.
You think it's like we have more heat on Kate because we had seen Trishelle and CT get together with Sandra and be like, we have, let's just vote Kate and then we're good to go. And then, yeah, I mean, at that point, again, this is where the game kind of falls apart because it's like, okay, if I'm CT and Trishelle, it's like, okay, like, let's just throw votes on Sandra then, because then we can save Kate and we can get more money.
And Luke says here, do you think there's anything Sandra could have done? No, I don't, because here's the problem.
Right? I think if she had worked harder with Kate to throw it on CT,
that was it. But here's the thing.
That would have been the only thing.
If Sandra has suspicion on her at Final Five, the reason that CT and Trishelle wanted to vote Sandra out first is because if they vote out Kate, and Kate ends up going home and is a traitor, and Sandra is also a traitor, which maybe they did have a sneaking suspicion it was going to happen. Now you have to rely on, at the Final Four, MJ being on board to vote out Sandra, which, as it was clear, she was not going to be willing to do, or you know, at least she was going to think, oh, we got rid of the traitor, so it's faithful, faithful, faithful. So then you run into a situation where could Sandra potentially win as the one person, as the one traitor, and upset the three faithfuls. So I think that's why they had to get rid of Sandra first, because then it was so easy to say, obviously, this is Kate. There's still a traitor left in the game. If you get rid of the traitor in that moment, you are saying there is the potential there is no traitor left in the game, and the best you can do is a 2-2 tie. Unless you have to convince MJ, the worst you can do, I'm saying, is a 2-2 tie. In this situation, MJ was always going to be willing to vote because the traitor had not been revealed yet. So you kind of had to figure out if it was Sandra or not.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what she played such a great game. Like, I know she went home, but like, got to give props to Sandra here. Not much she really could have done.
There really isn't, which is a shame. One more of those says, I think Sandra should have just targeted Kate and not said CT's name. I mean, maybe, but who knows, man? Who knows?
Yeah. But then, so then Kate goes home. And now you're going to the fire thing. And I feel like they vote out Sandra there too anyway, even if Kate is revealed as a traitor. I feel at that point it's going to be CT and Trishelle are definitely throwing two votes at Sandra. And then it's whether she can, I mean, then what are you doing?
So yeah, and I think the two of them even said that we wanted to win this together. They came into the game wanting to win it together. And that's, I think, the problem. Like, do you think that the traitors, and I know there are versions of it like this, do you think the traitors works better with newbies? Do you think it would be better if we had a cast of 22 people we didn't know?
No, I just think you need a cast, or at least they don't even need to be that more like game savvy. Like, I don't want game bots out here. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's more like they need to be aware.
Stan didn't work. Like, he wasn't good at the game. Like, he was fun, but he wasn't good at the game.
Mm-hmm. He was bad. He was bad because he was a bad trader. He just, he played too much. He did not throw out anybody's name. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I think the first answer is you can't reveal, stop revealing people's identities once you get to Final Five. I think that would be a big fix. And then it is a true social deduction game.
Yeah.
Like, even in, I feel like in Werewolf and in like Secret Hitler and some of those games, especially in Secret Hitler, I think there's like a card or a role or some way that, like, if you are on, you know, the Hitler side or whatever, you are able to hide the identity of someone that you've killed. Mm-hmm. So it's like it leaves it a mystery for the rest of the players. And like, there's a reason that is in the design of the board game, because that creates interesting gameplay and situations. So I feel like we can learn from these games, these social deduction games that have been played millions of times over, because they're in a box and a lot of people have them. And it's not like that. That's the thing with the traders is, like, I guess they have the international version, so that helps. But this is a big thing in like board game testing. It's like, you can, like, if you're designing a game, like, you can play it out all you want. Once that thing packs up into a box and ships out, it's basically, you can treat it, it's getting play tested hundreds of thousands of times. So every iteration, every scenario, whether good or bad, whether it's unfair, or we got into this scenario, it will eventually happen. It's kind of like Murphy's Law. Like, if it can happen, it will happen eventually. And with the traders and with any TV TV show format, like you're not able to do a full run through test of the mechanics. Like, sure, you could get some stand-ins, but you can't have what people are going to do with the prize money that's at stake, all the relationships that go into it. So it's literally you play it, see what works, see doesn't. You only get one season to iterate on. And I don't know how closely the producers of the Australian, the Canada, the UK version of these shows are working with each other. I imagine there's some, hey, let's share notes, what worked, what didn't. Mm-hmm. But it could be something where you just need to play this a few more times to really hone in what works and what doesn't.
What are your hopes? Because we know it's coming back for season three. We know that this is an incredibly popular show. People are watching it. We have 45 people watching live right now at 12:04 p.m. on a Friday. Like, we're in the middle of the
9 a.m. on a Friday over here in the West Coast.
Over there in the West Coast.
We're on the West Coast on the chat. Shout it out. I'm here with you. Got my coffee.
Yeah.
Shaders at 9 a.m.
Yeah, like the thing is, people care about this show. People really enjoy the show. I mean, we didn't even say we were going to be podcasting it for most of the year. We didn't promote it all that much. And we got solid views on all of this because people want to hear people talk about the traders. So what do you think that the goal is for season three? Do you think that there's going to be significant changes in season three? Kind of like how we saw the Shields become a bigger deal in season two and all that. Or do you think that NBC and Peacock are just content?
No, I think they want to work to make the show as best it can be. And they're probably getting a lot of feedback from, like, you know, someone might from that show might be listening to this podcast, Phil. I don't think it would surprise me that much. Maybe not like the higher up executive people. They probably don't care, but there might be somebody that, and look, they look into this, like, why did this not feel like a satisfactory ending? And maybe to some people it did. It just, for me, it's like the shift at the end and then Kate's dumb move. It's like, what can we do? And I would not be surprised if season three, they realize, okay, final five and later, we're not revealing the identities. I think that fix goes a long way and it's not that big of a game breaking change. And I don't think it screws the faithful over that much. It's just like, you have to be confident. Okay, we got a trader out at final five. I feel good with us four, or if I want more money, or if I think there's one more person, let's do it. You vote them out, you banish them, you throw red. It's 3-1 vote, let's say. They don't reveal who they are. They walk up to the castle. You're still at the fire. You look at everybody. All right, green, green, green. Boom. There you go. You've done the thing. And then the players don't know whether they've won or not, basically. Something else, too, is like, and again, I talked about this earlier. Even if they did it for one season, like, blur the face of one of the traitors in the turret. Like, we don't know who it is. And then that one person would obviously have to give like fake confessionals as a faithful, which that's always a little wonky. Like if you've watched The Mole, it's always like, man, one of these people is just acting in their interview. They're just looking, which is fine. And I think that's fun. Like if it was basically Dan and Phaedra, they recruit one person and then we don't know that it's Parv. And yeah, I could hear the arguments right now. Well, don't we want to see Parv's gameplay? She's this great survivor player. We want to hear her thoughts for sure. So maybe that's not it. And maybe you would pick a character who isn't a gamer, or you probably pick Phaedra out of those three. And we are trying to figure out who it is along with the faithful so that we're kind of playing in both sides here. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a really fun addition to the game.
That would be an excellent addition to the game. I just agree with you. It's a really hard thing to pull off from a production standpoint because it does start to feel phony. Somebody's going to slip, or you're just going to be able to tell, are they being sincere? Honestly, CT would be the perfect person for this because, like you said, he's a quiet talker. He doesn't talk fast. He does whatever. He might be the ideal person to be a fake faithful the entire game because he can deliver that. Some of these other people, like, I don't know if I'd believe him. I think I'd be suspicious, especially if we knew ahead of time that this was going to be happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be tough.
You got anything else you want to say about this, or should we wrap this up?
I like the show. I think that's what I want to get out of this. I know I've been like really ripping into it, and I think it's fun to rip into it. I like breaking this stuff down. If there's people that are like, oh, all you guys do is complain, I think if you watch this finale and you're fully satisfied with how the game works, then hey, that's great for you. And that's awesome. I didn't feel that way. I don't think, Phil, you felt that way. We've talked about the flaws of this format all season. That being said, I'm going to watch season three and I enjoy the show for what it is. It just feels like we're like one step or two steps away from really like locking in how to make this thing work. And it's not that this is easy to make work, a show like this where you don't know as a producer of the show if a trader's going home this week or a faithful and what numbers you're going to have and what missions you can do. But I think we've talked through enough solutions on how to at least make it the best that it can be, especially in this end game, where in both seasons I was like, man, why do those people think Ciri is faithful? Like, what? Like, they don't know how many traders there are. That feels so unfair. And those two people that have never been on a reality show are standing next to Ciri, and they're just like, "Yup, there was only two traders and one recruitment the whole season, and we've been watching." You're like, "What? Why do you think that?" It felt so. It didn't even feel like she won it. And then here it's like, man, Kate had no chance, and then we're just gonna get rid of a faithful for not really any reason. I don't know. We've been through it.
I feel like what's happening is I feel like this show, if it continues to evolve, I think could get to the perfect version it needs to be. And by season five, we could be sitting here going, oh my God, this is the best show on TV right now. I think there is a lot of potential for it. They just have to figure out what that's going to be. And they have to figure out how they're going to fix the problems. Because while, look, the majority of people watching this might be satisfied. But let's see what the drop-off is on viewers next year. Is it going to be a drop-off? Is there going to be an increase? Is it going to stay the same? Is it going to be totally dependent on the cast? I don't know. But look, this is the podcast that we're going to do. We're going to talk about the game, the mechanism, whatever. If you listen to our Deal or No Deal Island stuff, that's what we've been talking about over there. You should check that out. It's actually a really fun show. Might honestly be better designed than the Traders at this point. But go check that out. Let us know what you think. And like, this is kind of what we're doing at this channel. We're not just going to sit here and say, wow, everybody was so amazing. I love everything about this. If we have complaints, we're going to complain. And I mean, we do the same thing for Survivor. And I think that's why people kind of trust us with Survivor coverage, is because throughout the years that we've been doing this, we say what we truly, truly feel on all of this. So yeah, that's going to do it for our Traders coverage. So please subscribe to the channel. Please like this video. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please get over there and do so. If you haven't checked out, Will and I did our Survivor episode 2 recap. I also did an extra episode with Blake called Digging Deeper into Survivor Season 2, or Episode 2. And we were talking about, do Survivor fans actually want villains, which I think is a fun topic, especially after watching the Traders and seeing how some people react to how the Traders go. So check out that episode. It was a really fun conversation. It's a little bit shorter of an episode, just as some extra Survivor content that we can keep putting out there. Go check out all the other stuff we've been doing. Deal or No Deal Island. John and I did a Dune Part 2 review. Last night we did our Oscar predictions. So if you want to win your Oscar pools, go ahead and check that out. Agree with me more than you agree with John, and you'll win almost every single time because John always gets 12 wrong. But that's it. That's what we're doing. Will, I don't know what your next show other than Survivor is going to be. Survivor, Deal or No Deal Island. We might have those two just for a little while.
I think that's good for now.
I will be doing The Amazing Race next week, starting with McKenna. And I believe Celestina is going to join us on that one as well. So because Celestina and McKenna had been doing it on Patreon. So for the premiere, we're going to have both of them. And then it'll become me and McKenna for most of the season. And Celestina will fill in when one of us can't do it. Phil and Will show should be coming back right before March Madness. So that's everything. That's all of it. Hope you enjoyed our Traders coverage. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.